The Lord knows those who are his. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 19, if you will, turn there with me. Because when we consider some of the difficult days, and Job said, man born of woman is a few days and it's full of trouble. And there are difficult days in life. And God has given us a great prescription in Psalm 1 that helps us with this mentality of dealing with difficult days. And some of the best ways of dealing with the difficult times is simply choosing righteousness. And the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 6 and verse number 10 that God knows exactly who are doing those things that are right. He doesn't forget those who are doing what is right. In 2 Timothy 2 in verse number 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, watch this. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Go to Psalm 1. Look at verse number 6. I want to leave you with this word of exhortation, this word of encouragement, this word of help. Because we talked about many things concerning the psalm, especially division 1. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's always that comparing contrast. And God is always demonstrating to us, okay, this is what I'm laying out for you. But then there's always an alternative. And the very fact that God created light, he created the darkness. The very fact that he created holiness or righteousness or good, the opposite was created as well, because he has given man free moral agency to choose one or the other. But when we make the right choice, Evelyn, to actually live out righteousness, there is something that we know for a fact. God knows and God sees, and he doesn't forget. So let me ask you this. Is it right to do right? Is it okay to be holy? Is it all right to exercise spiritual wisdom from above in your life on a daily basis? The answer is absolutely yes. Friends, if you want to be happy, if you truly want that joy that's from above, God should not have to coerce you. He's already given it to you through his word and his son. Now you just have to go after and go get it. That's the God we serve. That he wants us to just simply come after what I've given you. So I leave you with these words as I give the invitation. Jesus, he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. Now watch this. My burden is light. God is not like man. Man will overburden you, but not the God of heaven. He doesn't. He never puts upon you more than what you can bear. So the very fact that you're going through it, it may just mean you can bear it. But don't bear it alone. You have the God of heaven. You have his beautiful son. You have the word of God. You have the church of Christ. You're not alone. Let us do it together. If you're not a child of God, we want you to become one. We want to study with you so you can make the decision to leave sin alone, leave unrighteousness alone, leave evil alone, and make up your mind to actually come to the Lord. He's the greatest one that you'll ever serve. That's why God sent him. He's the greatest Savior, the greatest Lord, the greatest Master, and he'll do wonderful works in your life. If you would just believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he's Messiah. If you would repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you're just simply not happy. You're not content. You're not grateful. Friends, I beg you, I plead with you, please, please seek after those things. Because not only will you make your life better, but you'll make the life of those around you better as well. And that's what life is about. Jesus was sent to make men better. Acts 3, verse 24 through 26, to bless us. As we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.